Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I feel the presence of the Lord here tonight, and what a privilege that always is. It's not something that we ever want to take for granted or just assume, but it's something that we always want to entertain and give God thanks for. Amen. I know that God is omnipresent. I know that. I know that He's everywhere. But I also know that He does not make Himself known everywhere that He is. I know that some places God is tonight, He's merely a silent observer. But I'm glad to be in a place where He wants to manifest Himself and say, "Here I am. I'm here. Amen. Seek me and know me." Hallelujah. He wants us to know Him tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Good to have Brother and Sister Latimer here tonight. Give us a word from the Lord, brother. Bless you. Right. Right. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord is here. By hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Somebody sent me an email a while back about a guy that I don't know if he knew what he was getting into, but he went to a Pentecostal church and he came down for prayer and he said, "I need you to pray for my hearing." Man, that pastor slapped his hand on his head with about a half a bottle of oil, started praying. You know how we can pray. And when he got through, he said, "Now, how's your hearing?" He said, "I don't know. It won't be until Wednesday." So, he didn't know how it was going to turn out. I guess his other hearing's all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're turning tonight in the book of Psalm to the 142nd Psalm. And verse number 5 is our launching place. I'm very thankful tonight. You know, sometimes you need to feel bad to remember how good it feels to feel good. And I had a little round of feeling bad the last 2 days, so now I'm feeling much better. And it's real good to feel good. Amen. Psalm 142 is a psalm of David. And the 5th verse is the one I want to draw my text from here tonight. David said, "I cried unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." And my thought tonight is, my, what a refuge. My, what a portion. Woo! My, what a refuge. My, what a portion. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. To get a good understanding, or perhaps a clear understanding, of why David cried that, we need to get a little background of this psalm. According to the introduction of this psalm, David wrote this while he was in a cave. You remember after he was anointed of Samuel to be king of Israel, he had a good portion of time when he was brought into the house of Saul and the favor of Saul and the favor of the people was upon him. He had brought down Goliath and brought his head and placed it on the gate of Salem, which later became Jerusalem. And he was a great warrior. The Bible said that they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And that's when the trouble began. The Bible said jealousy is as cruel as the grave and as the sin of witchcraft. Jealousy is not an innocent thing. It's a horrible thing. When jealousy gets a hold of a person, it forever rearranges them and their emotions. And that's what happened to Saul. He allowed jealousy to get a hold of him, control his life, poison his spirit and his thinking. And so Saul, one day in a fit of rage, tried to pin David to the wall with the javelin. David ran for his life. And the time of the writing of this psalm, David is still running for his life. So David comes to the cave of Adullam. And the Bible said when he got there that his family came to him. Now, there's times that it's wonderful to have your family around. But this was a time when really they were just more responsibility, when he really didn't need more responsibility. They were more people to take care of when he was having a really hard time taking care of himself. And the Bible says not only did his family come, but it says that everybody that was distressed came. Have you ever been around stressed people? That's who came. Pardon me, Brother Marshall, but those just about to go postal were there. I mean, they were stretched to the limit. They were troubled in their mind. They were troubled in their spirit. And they came and joined David in the cave as if he needed more stress. And that wasn't all. All the deadbeats came. The debtors. People couldn't pay their bills. So they came and joined. Hey, the God didn't send him any millionaires. Not even any thousandaires. God just sent him a bunch of debtors. People that were running from the law. Hey, we can't pay our debts, David. Take us in. We're looking for a hiding place. And that's who joined him in the cave. And then the Bible said everybody that was discontent, Lord have mercy. David, how much can you bear? It was bad enough that his family was there. It was bad enough that the debtors were there. It was bad enough that all the stressed out people were there. And here come the bitter people. Everybody that's got an old, ugly, bitter spirit joined David in the cave. In the cave. The Bible said there was 400 men in the cave. And no bathroom. And no shower. I'm telling you, David was in a tight spot. Somebody defines stress as a man and a wife and four teenage daughters with one bathroom and 30 minutes to church time. But David had it worse than that. I mean, it was a bad situation. No wonder David cried out. No wonder David called on the Lord. He was in a bad situation. But I do want you to know tonight that God eventually took those 400 people and added more to them and made one of the greatest armies that the world has ever seen and established one of the greatest kingdoms through the leadership of David. But God didn't send him anything easy to work with. Amen. Somebody said, oh, I want to be a leader. Look at what you pray for. God may put you in a cave with the discontents and the debtors and the distressed. Huh? Hey, man, God, I want to be a preacher. Oh, you really better watch out. Amen. So God said, I'm gonna train you up here, David. Amen. I'm gonna send you some help. I'm going to send you some grace builders. I'm going to build you some character enhancement. I'm going to send you some patience triers. I'm going to send you some trouble, David. You just thought Saul was bad. All he wants to do is take your life. These people just want to suck it out of you every day that you live, one breath at a time. David was in a bind, I'm telling you. And so no wonder, then you look at this psalm and look what he said, verse 1. He said, I cried unto the Lord. I'm telling you, David, he was in a spirit of prayer. This was not, now I lay me down to sleep, prayer. Amen. This was crying out prayer. Amen. This was screaming to God prayer. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord, did I make my supplication. He says, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him all my trouble. Amen. That's what you got to do sometimes. I tell you, he couldn't tell the discontents. The debtors didn't want to hear. Amen. And certainly, those that were already stressed out didn't want any more stress. Amen. I never got so weary of hearing the word fantastic in all my life. I was going through a pretty tough time in my life. And I needed somebody. But everybody I tried to talk to, and you'd say, how are you doing, brother? They'd say, fantastic! And I knew they didn't want to hear. I've never been around so many people that were fantastic in my life. And I suppose the Lord just wanted me to tell him about it. So I made up my mind, I can't talk to anybody else. I might as well to talk to the one that can do some good anyhow. So just go ahead and pour it out to the Lord. Amen. Show him all your troubles. That's what David, he just poured it out to the Lord. Amen. Listen to me. He said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. In other words, he said, my spirit fainted inside of me. He said, and then he goes on to say, he said, they secretly set a snare for me. Did you know that sometimes people want to see you fail? Oh, yeah. They'd like nothing better than to see you fall flat on your face. And then they'll do everything they can to help you get there. Amen. They sneakily, slyly, secretly, they set a snare for you so that they can snap you. And he said, that's no wonder. Listen to the kind of people he's living with. Can't trust those folks. He said, no one even acknowledges me. I was anointed king here, folks. Don't you recognize that? No. No one even acknowledged him. You ever felt like nobody even acknowledged you? Have you ever been around folks and you were just ignored? A lot of talking going on, fellowship going on, and you felt like you just weren't even on the same planet? David said, nobody even acknowledged me. And I was in the cave first. I didn't ask these people to come here. They came on their own. But nobody even acknowledges me. And then he said, refuge has failed me. I came to a cave trying to get away. Trying to find a little solitude. Trying to find a place of refuge. And I don't have any refuge. Look at all these misfits that found me here. And then he said, no one cares for my soul. They may like my cooking, and they may like the food that I provide, and they may like the blessings, but he said, not a one of them cares for my soul. I'm telling you, David's in trouble. He's in dire straits. Low place in his life. And then, I want to talk a little about his deliverance. And then the next verse is one I already read to you. He said, I cried unto the Lord. Now I want you to hear this. I said... Listen closely. He gets in the first person here, or in the third person. He says, thou art my refuge. I can't find it in a cave. I can't find it in Gath. I can't find it in my own house. I can't find it anywhere on the earth. Everywhere I go, there's people worse off than I am trying to join up with me. I don't have a refuge in this world, but thou art my refuge. David understood something. If he could just get off somewhere with the Lord, he could find a refuge. Hallelujah. Hear me tonight. No matter how difficult life gets, no matter how hard your way is, if you'll find yourself a place and you'll cry out to the Lord, you will find that He is your refuge. Psalm 57 is a companion psalm to this song. It is actually written in the same cave, at the same experience, and that is very similar in a lot of its content. So let's turn to Psalm 57 and let's read that. David said, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Until these calamities be over, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performed all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among those that are set on fire. Even sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongues a sharp sword. Well, those are tough people. I run into a few of them. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed.
I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will sing praises, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praise unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. That's how you find a refuge. That's how you build a refuge. Amen. You get that kind of praising going on. You get that kind of singing going on. You get that kind of worship going on. And no matter what you find yourself in, I promise you one thing. There's going to be a refuge. There's going to be a hiding place. Your soul is going to fellowship with the Almighty God. And you're going to know somebody cares about you. Hallelujah. Amen. David said, you are my refuge. You are my refuge. Hallelujah. Amen. He couldn't find one anywhere else. He said, but you are my refuge. You're it, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, we used to sing a song that He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus. Is all I need. Him, and I'm telling you, friend, He is your refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Him, and I'm telling you, God is a refuge. Amen. You think, well, I can't go any longer. Hear me. Underneath are some everlasting arms. Hallelujah. If you think you're about as low as you can go, there's some everlasting arms there that are going to embrace you and bear you up and hold you till the storm passes by. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 99, he said, the Lord also is a refuge for the oppressed. Anybody oppressed? Amen. He said, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the time of trouble. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Almost makes you feel sorry for people that never had any trouble because they never felt that refuge. I'll never forget the testimony. I don't remember the brother's name. I wish I did. Spoke at a general conference so many years ago. He had, back when the Iron Curtain was still there and persecution was still going on in Russia and those countries, and he was from one of those countries, and he had been in prison. He had suffered great things for the name. He had been beaten, persecuted, unbelievably persecuted. Amen. I remember one story he told when one morning he was sick and he couldn't work. The guards came in and started kicking him and jumping up and down on him and stomping him. And when they left, they made him get up. They drug him out into the field. He could barely stand on his feet. And all of a sudden, he began to smell the most putrid smell. And he realized that something had ruptured on the inside of him. And he knew that he was going to die. And he said, Lord, he said, I remember when Naaman stepped in to the river that you took his leprosy away. He said, God, there's a river here. It's not Jordan, but I'm going to ask you when I step into this water, whatever's wrong with me, I'm going to ask you to heal me. And he stepped into those waters and he said, from that moment, whatever was broken inside, God fixed him. And the pains went away and the stench went away. Amen. And everything from that moment. He said, I know those were terrible times, but I never felt God closer than I felt Him in those days. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. When there's a lot of trouble, there's a lot of grace. I'm not asking for trouble, but hear me. When trouble comes, grace will be there. I've heard people concerned about the future. What am I going to do, Brother Grissom? I can tell you what you better not do. You better not trust in your bank account. And you better not trust in your job. And you better not trust in your government. And you better not trust in any of these things. You better set your faith on something much higher than that. Amen. Because He said, my grace is sufficient for you. We're going to have some difficult times. We may be very near the end. This whole house of cards may tumble soon. I don't understand how it's going now. I don't see how it stays afloat as it is. We have spent ourselves into an impossible debt to repay. Amen. So if you're dependent on the U.S. government, you better get your faith a little higher than that. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if it can even be reversed. I don't know if it can be. Amen. I think we need to try. But I'm not sure what we can do. Amen. We've already let Iran get so far with their atomic possibilities, and I promise you, they get it, they'll use it. They're not going to beat around the bush. And when they get it, every country in the Middle East is going to want it. And they're going to say, you didn't stop Iran, don't stop us. And when you get that many nuts with atomic power, you've got a recipe for disaster. I'm telling you, folks, we're quickly coming to an end of this day. We're wrapping it up. Amen. Praise God. But hear me. He said, when sin comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against it. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, you can trust Him. He's your refuge. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I always love Psalm 46, verse 1. He said, God is our refuge. Hallelujah. God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. God is my refuge. That's what David learned. That's what he learned. He said, I'll tell you what, even when you're living in a cave with 400 discontents, he said, God can be your refuge. Amen. If you're in a cave, in an old stinky cave with 400 men, amen, that's got their back up against the wall, and they're bitter, and they're disappointed, and they're disillusioned, and they're dead broke, he said, guess what? God will still be your refuge if you've got the king and his armies hunting you like a rabbit. Amen. He said, God is still my refuge. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 57. We read that when he said, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my strength, or my soul trusteth in thee. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge till these calamities be overpassed. Hey, they're going to pass. Just hang on. You just find that refuge. They're going to pass on. Amen. It will pass. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 91 and 2 said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God! In Him will I trust. If I say trust. Oh, what a precious thing to have God to trust in. I remember Abraham Lincoln, one statement that he made that I read. It said, he said, you don't know how many times, he said, I've gone to my knees with the overwhelming conviction that I had no other place to go. The buck stops here. There's a war going on. Brothers fighting brother, north against south. The nation's divided. Amen. And I'm in charge here. Amen. What are we going to do about this? And so he said, so oftentimes, he said, it was just my knees. That was the only place that I could go. That was his refuge. Amen. Oh, that we would find our leadership going to that same place. But so few do. So many have lost the art of prayer. So many are like Israel Isaiah chapter 28, the Lord said to Israel, He said, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge." We have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. I'm afraid that sounds like America today. We have made lies our refuge. Amen. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Amen. And the Lord said, "And your covenant," He said, "judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it." God said, it's not going to work. Don't make lies your refuge. Amen. Truth sometimes hurts, but I'm telling you, the truth's the only way out. Amen. God respects truth. God honors truth. Amen. It's a sad pass when we get to the place that we make lies our refuge. And it's even more sad when we lie to ourselves. Amen. But God said, David said, "The Lord's my refuge." Amen. But that's not all He said. He didn't stop there. He said, "I said my refuge is the Lord." And He also said, "My portion." My portion in the land of the living. God is not only my refuge, but He's also my portion. Praise God. I mean, I'm sure David, when he would get away and he would get in the spirit of prayer, he'd feel that anointing again. And his mind would go back to that day on the countryside when that old prophet called for him. And he came from the sheepfold with his shepherd garments and his staff in his hand, smelling like sheep. And that old prophet reached over and got his horn with the oil. Now, I don't know. I've read commentaries that say that when they anointed a king, they used a gallon and a half of oil. They wanted to be anointed. So they took that oil and he poured it on his head. Now, I understand what the scripture said when he talked about the anointing that ran down Aaron's beard and down his garments. Now, you can't do that with a little bit on the tip of your finger. So if you don't like that, get over it. We're going to start anointing biblically around here. And then we have something to complain about. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he poured a gallon and a half of oil on his head. And I want you to know David remembered that. Woo! He ran down his head, down on his garments, all the way down to his feet, oil dripping everywhere. He never forgot that. He never forgot. Now, sometimes it would be difficult to remember, and he would momentarily forget, just like we do. Anybody remember the night you got the Holy Ghost? Anybody remember when you got the Holy Ghost? Amen. But sometimes when you get in trouble and you're around discontents and distress and debt and all the problems that life brings, if you're not careful, you'll forget about that anointing that came upon you when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you tonight, the Lord is your portion. Amen. You know, some people, they want to talk about everything they gave up to serve the Lord. You ever heard anybody talk about that? I've heard people give testimonies and it almost sounded like they were sorry they got saved. They were doing so well in the world. I mean, they were headed for Broadway and they were on the Broadway anyway. And they were headed for the lights and they were a part of the world's greatest band, or they were the world's greatest football player or basketball player. And then God saved them and messed it all up. This really messed things up. Amen. I read somewhere, and I think it's true. It said, try Jesus. If you don't like him, the devil will take you back. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here's what Jesus said to his disciples. He in Mark chapter 10, verse 29. He said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. That's not pie in the sky. That's now. This time. Now listen, with persecutions. Now he just could have left that out. But he's being honest. We're going to have persecutions. He said, and in the world to come, eternal life. That's my portion. Hallelujah. Hey, that's my portion. You don't give up anything to serve God, but what he's going to repay you 100-fold. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I inherited a great portion. I don't know about you tonight, but I got a portion. Amen. When God gave me a name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower the righteous run into, and they're safe. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, there's safety in that name. There's security in that name. There's power in that name. There's blessing in that name. There's forgiveness and mercy in that name. There's grace and compassion in that name. And that's my portion. Hallelujah. That's my portion tonight. He gave me a name that's above every name, and that's a part of my portion tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. And he gave me his blood. The Bible said we are made nigh by the blood. It's the blood that washes away our sins. It's the blood that cleanses us. It's the blood that sustains us. And I understand tonight that blood is physical life. Amen. But he gave his blood so that he could deal with our sins and deal with our past and blot out our transgressions. That's my portion. I said, that's my portion tonight. Hallelujah. And then I love this verse in Hebrews when he said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you find that fine mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. That's my portion. Amen. When there's trouble coming. Amen. When I need mercy. Mercy's for the fallen. Mercy's when you've already gone down and you've already given in and you've already messed up and you've already sinned. He said, come back to the throne because there's mercy there. And God will forgive you and you can start all over again. Grace is for those that have not fallen and have not given in. Hard-pressed, difficult, staggering on your feet, but you haven't gone down. Grace comes in and infuses you with new strength and new fervor and new power to run in the race. Amen. That's my portion. Woo! Holy Ghost is my portion. Holy Ghost is my portion. Amen. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. Hallelujah. Didn't he say that? Amen. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is our portion. In the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's my portion. That's my portion. Oh, what a portion tonight. That's better than the king's table. That's better than the king's palace. Amen. That's better than eating the king's food or sleeping in the king's bed. Amen. That's better than riding the king's horses or chariots. Amen. That's my portion tonight. Amen. But I must not forget that the cross is my portion. The cross is my portion. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's the portion. The Lord's portion always includes a cross. You can't get around it. And crosses are not to decorate
all right.
your body.
That's right.
Crosses are a place to die. They're just a place to die. And everybody needs a place to die. I need a place to crucify my flesh. I need a place that my will may die so his will can live. That's my portion. Amen. But that's not all of it. Amen. I'm almost through. Well, I'm going to quit anyhow, whether I'm through or not. Praise God. But let me tell you something. My portion is also resurrection. Amen. They had it right when they said they wrote that old hymn that said, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground, 'cause ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." Amen. Paul said it like this to the Corinthian church. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And then he wrote to the Thessalonian church. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. That's your portion. That's your portion. Hey, don't you be feeling sorry for me. Woo! My, what a refuge. And my, what a portion. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I'm not looking for any sympathy. I'm not looking for any pity tonight. Amen, because I've got a great refuge.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I've got a great portion. Hallelujah. I got a refuge like you can't find in this world. When the bombs are falling, I'm not going to need a hideout somewhere. Amen. I'm not be looking for no cave. I'm not going to be looking for any bomb shelter to crawl down into and share with the spiders and the snakes. No thanks. Amen. Brother Grissom, what if it blows you up? Well, so what? Amen. It's just going to blow me into eternity. And Jesus is waiting for me there. Hallelujah. My refuge is waiting for me there. There's nothing for me to be afraid of. Amen. Because God is my refuge. Amen. My portion. Hey, it's a portion that'll never wear out. Amen. It's a portion that I consume every day and I'll never consume it all. Amen. It's a great portion. Let's stand together. My, what a refuge. My, what a portion. Hallelujah.
Yes,
no wonder God loved David, huh? No wonder God loved David. Somebody that was in a situation like David was in, and he could walk out into the starry night, look up into the sky, and cry out to the Lord. Tell him his troubles, and then say, "But thou art my refuge, God, and you are my portion." Hallelujah. Oh, yes. The Bible talks about the sure mercies of David.
Yes.
Amen. David's mercies are sure because his faith in God was steadfast. And even when he messed up, he went back and he said, "Oh God,
yes,
create in me a clean heart,
yes,
and renew a right spirit within me." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's worship the Lord a little bit tonight, shall we? Amen.